As we come to Acts chapter 14, we're looking at this topic of perseverance in mission. And we're looking at how the apostles were actually fulfilling the commission to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ after his ascension into heaven. Now, I wonder what you think about the general definition of perseverance. When you look it up in the dictionary, perseverance is continuing to work towards a purpose without giving up when faced with hardship. That's a general definition. When we come to the Bible, we have a biblical definition of perseverance. And that theological definition is perseverance is being a continued state of grace leading to eternal salvation. In Acts chapter 14, what we actually find is an example of the general definition being worked out with Paul and Barnabas because they believe in the theological definition. And we begin to see that even when there is opposition and setbacks, even a pushback against the gospel, we begin to see that they are in a continued state of grace and they do not give up. Why? Because they believed in the sovereignty of God. And as we begin to look at this passage, we'll begin to see how Paul and Barnabas persevered in the gospel and what we can learn from that. And as we look at this, there are four aspects. Now, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I have two other points beyond this one, okay? So bear with me. But we're going to race through these four because each of these points that we look at with regards to aspects regarding perseverance have a couple of opposition and perseverance. There are four oppositions facing this chapter, just in this one missionary endeavour. And there are four examples of perseverance, and that's what we want to think about. And then we're going to have a look at where does perseverance lead to? What does it lead to? We often say we need to persevere. You need to endure in your Christian life, but what does it lead to? Why should we persevere? Why should we endure hardships and problems in this life? What's the point? What is God doing within us? What is God doing in the church, the work of the church, that we should persevere? So we're going to have a look at persevere in outreach. We're going to look at persevere with discernment. Persevere with focus on the truth. And then persevere through opposition itself. We'll go through each of these points quickly, and then we'll look at those two aspects of what does perseverance lead to, and then we'll look at a person. Because often we consider, well, what is God doing in that situation? Why am I going through this hard time? Why has God led me through this diagnosis? Why have I had to endure this amount of suffering? And we'll see that in the life of a person at the very end. So, first of all, persevere in outreach. We're looking at verses 1 to 4 to begin with. And we'll see the first opposition and the first perseverance. Paul and Barnabas, in verse 1, are in Iconium. And they are in the Jewish synagogue. They're with their own people. That's where they start. And as they do, a great number of Jews and Gentiles, Greeks, sorry, believe. These are proselytes. These are Greeks who have converted to Judaism, who are in the synagogue. And they hear Paul and Barnabas preach. And they believe. And the first church in Iconium is planted. Because we find that Paul and Barnabas spend time in each location. It's not like they're there for a week. They're there for a long period of time, up to a year in each location. A church is planted. But we come across the first opposition. Verse 2. But unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. You see, those who resisted the gospel poisoned their minds. That's the other people from believing. They set doubts in people's minds. They had questions. And they were setting false accusations in the minds of people, filling the minds of others with untruths. We will face opposition to the gospel when people deliberately poison the minds of those who are hearing the gospel. When you can't believe what they say. Christians are bigots. They're radicals. You can't trust what they say. They hate people. And so these untruths infiltrate and poison the minds of people listening to the gospel. But how does Paul and Barnabas react? Well, their first perseverance we find in verses 3 and 4. We read in verse 3. So they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. You see, what was their perseverance? Well, they stayed put. They did not run. They did not give up. They did not say, do you know what? People are poisoning their minds with these untruths. We can't get a fair hearing amongst our neighbours and friends that we made in Iconium. But rather than flee, rather than give up, they stay put. So they remained for a long time. And then secondly, they spoke boldly for the Lord. They had the courage to speak up for the Lord. And there are times when we need to stay put and we need to speak up for the Lord. It may be at work. It may be with your colleagues. It may be with your family members. It may be with people you work with. It may be with your neighbours. It may be people you meet in the village that they speak against the gospel. Stay put. Don't get riled. Speak words of truth. Speak boldly. Declare the truths of the gospel, not your own thoughts. You're not there to win the arguments, but you're there to speak boldly for the Lord. So persevere in outreach. Don't give up. Stay true to the course. Secondly, persevere with discernment. We read about that in verses 5 to 7 of Acts 14. You see, we find that some people were divided in their minds. Verse 4. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with Jews and some with the apostles. They really didn't know what to do. They weren't sitting on the fence. They were like, I don't know which way to go. Do I believe Paul and Barnabas preaching about the good news of Jesus Christ and I need to repent of my sins and come to faith in Christ? Or do I follow the Jewish way of life, the Old Testament? Do I follow the traditions of my family? And they were divided. But then we find in verse 5, opposition number 2. Look at verse 5. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with the rulers to mistreat them and to stone them. You see, there come opposition when people will stop talking and seek physical violence. We've seen that, unfortunately, in our news screens, where an evangelist, a gospel preacher, was at a campus sharing and debating about the gospel and about the Bible and about biblical beliefs, and eventually someone silenced him by shooting him dead. Violence may come, and people would try to mistreat Christians who actually tried to preach the gospel. In fact, stoning was a Jewish form of death for blasphemy. The Jews could not stand with the gospel, and so they reject it with some physicality. That's the opposition number two. What does Paul and Barnabas do? We'll read verses 6 and 7. They learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe. You see, there are times when it's okay to flee, to put yourself out of harm's way, and they fled. In fact, they actually went to Lystra, and that is 18 miles away from Iconium. They tried to put distance between them and the hatred of the Jews. And when faced with physical opposition, we have a question in our minds. Do we stay or do we go? Do we stay and try to reason with people who are physically violent against the gospel truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do we go and move on to tell others about Christ? And that's why we need to have discernment, persevere with discernment. Paul and Barnabas felt it was better for them to move on and not cause a riot. They were looking at their own safety and the safety of those who have become Christians in that new church. And they decide the best possible outcome is to flee. And they fled to Lystra and Derbe. And because of that, those two cities heard the gospel. There is quite reasonable at times when you need to move on. We also think, well, we must keep talking to that person. And they keep rejecting the gospel. There's times when you move on. You continue to pray for that person. The Lord would open their hearts and minds, but you move on. And then we have persevere with a focus on the truth. Verses 6 to 18. Here's a lengthy area where at Lystra, they encounter a man who's been paralyzed from birth. He's disabled. He's been unable to walk. And he listened to Paul speaking. He heard the gospel. And looking at faith at Paul looked intently at him and just simply said, "Stand upright on your feet." God empowered Paul and a miracle happened. That man could walk. There was a visible testimony. Now you think that would actually point people to Christ. Unfortunately, it did the opposite. Because the people in Lystra were rooted in Greek mythology. So we read about these two gods, Zeus and Hermes. Now to understand this passage, you need to understand what was happening at the time. So in Lystra, there was a local legend based upon Greek mythology. But at one point, Zeus and Hermes as gods, they were known as Jupiter and Mercury by the Romans, came down in a disguise as people. And they lived amongst the people of Lystra, but unfortunately, most people did not entertain them, except for one elderly couple. And because of that, Zeus and Hermes brought destruction on the houses of all the other people, and an earthquake happened. And the people then became superstitious. They saw the miracle healing. And immediately they started to say that Barnabas was Zeus and Hermes was Paul was Hermes. And they started to consider that these were actually gods because they did not want to repeat the mistake of their ancestors by not honouring men who they thought were gods. And that's opposition number three. Now you think that's not an opposition, John. Well, think about it. In verse 11, the people speak out and it says, "When the crowd saw that Paul had done, they lifted up their voices and saying in the local language, Laconian, 'The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men.'" You see, it's a form of idolatry. The opposition is a form of idolatry where the people wanted to elevate Paul and Barnabas of hero worship. And what they do is they very simply say, "The gods must be amongst us. We must worship the men, not the message." That's opposition. When someone elevates the person, the man, the pastor, the elder, the teacher, above the message, that is a form of idolatry. And that is opposition to the gospel. Because people pay more attention to what the man says and not what the message is about. And we need to be very, very careful in our churches that we don't elevate men to hero worship and ignore the truth of God's word. That is a dangerous situation to be in. And it's so often the case when people get notoriety that people begin to worship the man and they miss the message. And we need to be careful because that is opposition. How does Paul and Barnabas deal with this opposition number three? Well, have a look at verses 6 and 7. Sorry, not 6 and 7. Have a look at verse 20. No, not 20, which is misplaced place there. Verse 15, that's where I need to be. Paul, when he heard it, cried out, said, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news. You should turn from these vain things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." You see, Paul was clear. What he said was, you need to look not to us, but to the living God, the Lord God who made heaven and earth. And he focused on the truth of the gospel. He didn't want hero worship. He didn't want people to go around calling him Hermes, the one who spoke wonder and greatness. He didn't want Barnabas to be referenced as Zeus, the god of destruction. But actually they were simple men commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to go out and tell the truth of the gospel. And they persevered by telling the truth. Whenever people try to elevate you and think you're a good person, you're a good Christian, you need to correct them and say, well, actually, no. I'm a sinner redeemed by the grace of God, but I believe in the truth of Jesus Christ. And it's that truth that I want to convey to you. It's not about me. It's not about what God has done in me. It's not about my abilities. It's about the truth of the gospel. It's all about pointing people to the living God. And that is the message that we need to consider. And that is how we persevere with a focus on the truth. And then we come to the fourth one, where we've got persevere through opposition. And that's verses 19 to 21. Because further problems arrive for Paul and Barnabas. You see, they're in Lystra, and then we find that something happens in verse 19. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Opposition number four. Jews travel the 18 miles to get to Lystra, and they confront the crowds of people, and they oppose him, and they then stone him. Thinking he was dead, they drag his body outside the city to a common grave, a poor man's grave, and leave him for dead. And there are times when we face opposition, when people then bring physical violence. I was reminded when I was preparing this of Nate Saint. Maybe you've heard of him. He was an American missionary with young men who wanted to go down into the Amazon jungles. And he was a pilot, so he could fly like planes. And his aim was to reach those who had never heard of the gospel. And he made progress in finding tribes in the jungle and reaching out with them. And he landed the plane after giving them gifts to make introductions. But the tribe became hostile and physical. And they murdered Nate Saint and his colleagues. And he would have thought, that's an awful thing. He died in vain. But years later, the widows of those missionaries who were murdered went back, continued to share the gospel, and that tribe came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. A church was established in that place. The very men who had murdered Nate Saint and his colleagues came to faith in Christ. Even out of physical violence, good may come. And that's where we come to perseverance number four. Because we read about what happens as Paul and Barnabas persevered in the face of physical violence, verse 20. But when the disciples gathered about him, that is, means they came to bury him, Paul rose up and entered the city. And the next day he went on with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra. You see, Paul did not give up. Battered and bruised, he almost died. And yet, he recovered. The next day, he goes on and he perseveres. He perseveres through opposition. Now, you might say, Paul, why don't you just give up? You've had four lots of opposition in short space of time. Why don't you just give up and go back home? It's not worth it. But that's not Paul's mission. Paul and Barnabas want to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And there will come opposition in your life. Maybe even physical violence. People will want to do you harm. Don't give up. Persevere. Persevere through that opposition. Because if you do, you will then to see where perseverance leads to. And these are my final 2 points. 2 observations of perseverance that leads to. And the first one you'll find in verses 21 to 24. Let's read those words together. Verse 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. You see, perseverance leads to healthy churches. And 5 things that we learn about in this passage here, verses 21 to 24, help us understand that Paul and Barnabas persevered when opposition came. And out of that, 5 positive things happened that led to healthy churches. Remember, every location you read about in the Acts of the Apostles, a church was planted. This wasn't just someone sharing the gospel. Those who believed were baptized, brought into membership of a local church, and a church was planted. Each of the places that you read about, in Lystra, in Antioch, Pisidia, in Iconium, in Derbe, are all places where churches were planted. And as they go back, retracing their steps after a number of years, they spend time in each of the churches. And what do? They want to make sure that the church is healthy. So what do? Verse 22. They strengthen the souls of the disciples. In other words, they were sitting down and having spiritual conversations. How's your walk with the Lord? How are you growing in your understanding of God's word? Are you growing in the grace? What problems do you have to deal with? How can we pray for you? What issues are you facing at work and in your family? What can we teach you from God's word? Strengthen the souls of the disciples. Secondly, they were encouraging them. It says they're encouraging them to continue in the faith. There are times when we need to encourage one another. Barnabas, his nickname was Son of Encouragement. He would get alongside you, having a tea or coffee, if they had tea and coffee in those days. And he would say, how are you getting on in the faith? What can I do to encourage you? You look a bit concerned and worried. What can I pray for you? That word of encouragement really lifts the hearts and minds of those who are weary, those who are faint-hearted, and those who are struggling in their faith. And they sought to encourage the disciples. Thirdly, they were also realistic about the problems that we face in hardships. You find that in end of verse 22. And saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. They did not sugarcoat the gospel. They were true to say that if you are a Christian who stand for Christ, some of your family members may not understand you. They might be hostile to you. Your neighbours may not get it. There'll be people who will walk on the other side of the road when they see you. They may not understand the truth of the gospel. They won't understand why you believe in Jesus Christ. They won't understand why you have faith in the Bible, God's word. They were realistic that in tribulations you will suffer. Fourthly, they appoint elders. We see that in verse 23. And when they appointed elders for them in every church. You see, Paul and Barnabas were going to go on back to their home church in Antioch. They did not leave the church bereft. They appointed elders. Men who were considered able to teach, who had a good character, they were appointed to serve in the church, a healthy church, having good leadership, maybe even having someone be recognized as the pastor. That's what Paul and Barnabas do. And then fifthly, once they've done that, It says, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. There was time of prayer and fasting. It wasn't just a quick prayer meeting. This was time spent with each church. And they strengthened them. Why? Because when Paul went to the next city, he wanted to make sure he left behind a healthy church. What does a healthy church look like? It's when we strengthen the souls of one another. It's when we encourage one another in the faith. It's when we comfort those who are facing hardship and tribulations. It's when we recognize amongst our church members those who have the ability to teach and recognize them as leading in the church. And we commit to one another in prayer. That's what a healthy church looks like. And then secondly, as we come to the end of this chapter, we actually see that perseverance leads to joy in your church. That's in verses 24 to 28. Because after all the travelling, they actually come back in verse 27 to Antioch, their sending church. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. That verse 28 means they stayed there a long time. In fact, actually, they stayed there for years in their home church. How do they report back? How do they debrief? Well, they debrief by saying very clearly, declared all that God had done with them. You see, they realized it wasn't Paul and Barnabas' mission work. It's what God was doing with them. When we pray for missionaries, when we pray for the Saywells in the Philippines, we're not praying that they would be some sort of heroes in the mission field, but that God would work through them and with them to share the gospel to those who do not yet know Christ. And that's what Paul and Barnabas report back. And more than that, and how God had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. That was encouragement. That led to joy in the church. Whenever we have someone who comes back and reports back to us on missionary endeavours, there should be a smile on our face and joy in our hearts that God is able to work through them and with them and open a door of opportunity for the gospel. So in perseverance, we see four ways where we are encouraged to persevere. Two ways in which we are to actually lead to healthy churches and join our church. And then I want to finish with a person. Let me tell you about Timothy. Timothy is a young man. We're not too sure of his age, but he lives with his grandmother Lois and with his mother Eunice. We read about that in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And in Acts chapter 16, we encounter this man Timothy, named in the Acts of the Apostles. Timothy lived in Lystra. Lystra is where Paul and Barnabas were in verse 8 of chapter 14. And what we find is this grandmother Lois becomes a Christian. This mother Eunice becomes a Christian. This young teenage boy Timothy comes to know the Lord. A church is established in Lystra. And we read that Paul later on goes back to Lystra and he sees Timothy 3 or 4 years later as someone who is growing in their faith as a new Christian. And Paul joins Silas in the missionary team on their second journey. In fact, Paul writes about Timothy. He says in 1 Corinthians 4, "That's why I sent to you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of the ways in Christ." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says, "And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ." In Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul writes, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so I might be cheered by news of you, for I have no one like him who will be generally concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel." Now, why do I mention Timothy? All the opposition that Paul and Barnabas faced, they could easily have given up in telling others about Christ. but they don't. They persevere. And a church is established in Lystra, and a young man called Timothy comes to faith in Christ. And that young man develops and grows. He later becomes a pastor of a church. If you are considering giving up on your faith, persevere. Persevere in mission. Persevere in outreach. Persevere in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. Because you never know that when you're speaking to someone, you might be speaking to a young Timothy. Someone who comes to faith in Christ, where God will use that person for great things in future times. You may not be aware of it. You might not be aware of the impact that you have in sharing the gospel if you persevere. Paul did not understand the impact he had in persevering in Lystra. And then he came back years later and found this young man Timothy were converted when Paul and Barnabas persevered in the face of opposition. He later went on to be used greatly by the Lord. And Timothy was one of those men who actually took the gospel forward after Paul had been killed in Rome. Persevere in the gospel. That is how we glorify God, when we persevere. So often, it's so easy for us just to give up. It's so easy just to look at the problems, the issues, the hardship, and we give up. The writer of the Hebrews gives us words of encouragement. I want you to listen to these carefully, because so often we give up when we should persevere. Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which so easily clings to us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The writer of Hebrews says, persevere, carry on, because of what Christ has done. He is the one, even when faced with tribulations, with joy, set himself to the cross. He was willing to die on the cross for your sins. Are you willing to persevere for the gospel? Are you willing to persevere in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to persevere even when people refuse to listen? Even when people are hard of the hearts, persevere. Because one day we will face the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll have to give an account of our lives. And we will look and see him. And he will look at us and say, come, faithful and good servant. Why? Because Christ endured the shame. He is seated at the right hand of God. He is interceding for you now. Glorify him by persevering, even in the face of opposition. Amen.